in the family category, for sure. You all have taken good care of us, and we love you all. And we've had a good time here. We've eaten a lot, I'll say that. And good fellowship. It's been a good time. And you've got a project as a church to evangelize and make disciples of this area of the United States. And in Texas, Washington, we're from Texas, is looked at as liberal. And praise God, we get up here and it's not 100% liberal. There are some godly Christian people who are living with biblical principles and doing it courageously in many instances, going against the trend, so to speak. And so we praise God for you. And we praise God for Mother's Day. How many people in here have a mother? We wouldn't be here if we didn't have one. So somebody made some sacrifices for us, our mother. And motherhood is just a wonderful thing. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And we want to keep in mind, as parents, but especially as mothers, you're making an investment in eternity. A mother is investing in eternity. Someone has said, you know, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And that's pretty much true. You moms build the principles into those little ones from day one of conception. And you're doing a job that our Lord raised you up to do. And we praise him for it. So you continue to do that heartily as unto the Lord. We'll look at a scripture down here in a little while that says that. And in the midst of it all, you remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your work is not in vain. It's not worthless, and it's worth the investment. So the main scripture is today is Proverbs 31:10. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But I want us to look at, we'll just look at one verse to start with. And if you want to look in your Bibles, it's Proverbs 31, verse 12. It says this in Proverbs 31, verse 12. She, the wife, will do him, the husband, good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, we have some, how many young ladies are here that are not married? Young ladies that are not married. Any of them? One. That's, oh, here's a few more over here. Okay, and kind of hands like this. I'm not going to pick on you. But are these days included in the days of your life? If you're a single lady and you're not married? Are you doing good and not evil for your husband that God has for you down the line? Well, what's it say? She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, wives, are you doing your husbands good and not evil? You know, Adam, God gave him the test back there in Genesis chapter 2, where it says, in Genesis 2, about verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. So, Adam, there's everything here is for you. It's just for you. Except one thing, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So that's the test. It's a test of love. Does Adam love God with his whole heart and mind and soul and strength? But look at the next verse, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. What's the context? The spiritual test. Adam, I'm giving you a test. Don't eat. And then God must have thought, ay, 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 he's going to need help. I'm going to have to make a help meet for him. That's the context right there. The man should be alone. He shouldn't be alone. I'll make him a help meet, someone corresponding to him, for him. So what did God do? He made Eve. And Eve is there to, for number one thing, help Adam face the tests of life and the spiritual tests of life. And so let's see what we have here. A few proverbs here, little exhortation. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. Are we forsaking our mothers? Proverbs 23:22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. That does happen. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Moms, did you know you're laying down laws in the lives of your children? Biblical laws, biblical principles. And we're not supposed to forsake those in any way. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And that's too bad, because right now, there's a lot of young people bringing shame to their mothers. And I remember here just a couple years ago, I think it was when the BLM movement got started. Maybe it was up there. It was somewhere. And one of the son of a mother, it was a black family, and the son of a mother got involved in the rioting and all this stuff, and that was not what his mother taught him. And so I don't know if you remember this, I had it on the news. This mother found him down there with all the other guys that are doing bad things. And I mean, she starts clapping him across the head. You get home. And I thought, well, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. The rod and reproof give wisdom. He learned a little wisdom that day. Okay. And so we don't want to forsake the law of our mother. And we don't want to bring our mother's shame. So, a little disclaimer to fathers. The role of the wife and the mother is probably one of the most difficult in the world. It really is. It takes a huge amount of unconditional love of our Lord Jesus. And Mark 12:30-31 is where we have the greatest commandment and the second greatest commandment. Love the Lord with your whole heart and mind and soul and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. By the way, who's your closest neighbor? If you're married, it's your husband or your wife. And then it's your children. And then it goes out from there. All right, so he says, takes a lot of energy and stamina beyond what most of us men can even imagine. And lots of scriptures help us with this. And dedication to discipling and training children while we're at work. Household economics. You know, a mom, she's trying to figure out, okay, how can I make things work here? I've only got so much money to work with, and so she shops. She tries to get the right deals. She tries to look for the most nutritious kinds of foods. She's reading up on things. Yeah, I think I'm going to put, what do you put in my coffee every morning? I'm gonna put some coconut oil in my husband's coffee in the morning, and maybe that'll help his cholesterol. By the way, a tablespoonful of coconut oil in my coffee brought my cholesterol down 40 points. Okay, well, my wife and daughters figure all this out, and they keep me going, and so that's good. I was 81 years old on April 30th. Can you believe it? I mean, I didn't think I'd make it till age 40, and here it is. I was conceived in July of 1939. Ay, ay, ay. And I wasted almost half my life as an evolutionist. I can't believe it. Looking back on that. Anyway, I better get with the subject. Where are we here? Economics, nutritional awareness, academic education, supervision. And we really need to do that. And you spend a lot of time doing that if you're homeschooling. But even if you aren't, You need to find out what those children are learning at school. And a lot of moms and dads have found out this last year. With this COVID, they had to do homeschools. And all of a sudden, they're realizing, whoa, I had no idea they're teaching my children that. Okay? And so the statistics now are saying that about 40% of the moms that had their children in the public schools, as a result of COVID, they've decided they're going to homeschool. They're not going to put them back in that system. It's fascinating how the Lord works on things like this, okay? He turns good. He turns things good. Much more than we men typically have to focus on each day. That's the mom. That's the wife. For many, if not most of us, our hearts can safely, this is the men, trust in our wives. However, we're not to take a passive role in home life. In the end, the buck stops with us. We've got to work as a parenting team. Yeah, we do. And when I was in dentistry, I'm a dentist, used to be, and I was tired when I got home from work. Didn't even give a thought to what my wife had gone through all day long. Okay, I got home, I'm going to have to take a nap just to make it through the evening so I can eat my dinner and go watch TV, you know? And she's been dealing with the kids and all kinds of stuff and never entered my mind. And then we had a little chat one day, and so I decided, you know what, I'm going to be a little more energetic by God's grace when I get home at night. And so I did. I'd get home, and I said, come on, honey, I'll take the kids, and then we'd go have a good time. I realized, you know, you can have a good time with your children, men. And I started having a good time, and I don't know how long I did that, but then one day my wife came to me. I came home from work. She came, hey, how would you like to go take a nap? Oh, yeah, I'd like you to go take a nap, okay. So all of a sudden, she started giving me naps, all right? Anyway, the success or failure of our household, a child does not, the household or a child, does not rest solely on our wives. It's our responsibility, too. We're to be the spiritual leaders, men, of our homes. Keep close contact, interaction with each family member through communication, biblical counsel, prayer. Today's sermon's about mothers, but let's us husbands leave a little bit challenged here too. Now, one of my big problems has been an attitude of I can't be bothered. By the way, we've discovered it's a generational sin. My dad had the same problem. My grandfather had the same problem. Well, let the wife work it out. Okay, she'll get it worked out. I don't have to get involved here. Okay, I just can't be bothered. That's sin. All right. And it's only been in the last 5 years that I have been able to confront that particular sin in my life. I'm still working on it. And so we've got to be careful. It's a joint effort, this parenting. Where was I? Was I clear on the bottom here, or did I just keep pushing the button? Okay, while today's sermon is about mothers, yes, that's where we were. Let us husbands leave challenged to love and support them even more. Someone has said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Yeah, that's pretty much true. So it's a privilege, it's a calling. And by the way, you may not have children. Does that mean you're left out of this? Oh, no. We are supposed to have spiritual children and physical children so if you don't have physical children, you still have a responsibility to raise children, spiritual children, godly children. You're sharing the gospel. You're making disciples, okay? And that's part of the calling. So the privilege of being a wife, being created to complete, not to compete with your husband. I shared this morning. This is still morning. Earlier. We did some premarital counseling when I was a dental professor and all these students and different things. We did premarital counseling, and then we did some marital counseling after they got married. And one day, they came to us. They had a problem. They'd had a big fight. Why? Well, because one of them went out and spent $700 that they didn't have. I think it was the wife. And so they're all upset. Why? Well, because the husband, then he decided, she spent $700 we didn't have. I'm going to go spend $700 we don't have. So he went out and spent $700 more, okay? And they couldn't afford either one. Now they got in a big fight, okay? So they had to come and talk to us about that. We're not in competition with each other. If she spends $700, you don't have to spend $700. I don't think so anyway. God has made women totally equal. We're equal in God's eyes. Now, they have different roles. They have a different uniqueness. But anyway, women can make a home life bright and beautiful or sad and difficult. You know what? As a Christian, you're either going to radiate life to your family, the life of Jesus, or you're going to radiate death to your family, the devil. You're going to radiate one or the other, okay? And the Lord Jesus wants you to radiate life. Ladies, life to your husband, to your family. Mothers, enrich the home with creative, happy memories. Or that you're going to leave a legacy of remorse and resentment. It's one or the other. You're going to do one or the other. And Jesus wants you to just radiate life to your family. And by His grace, we can do that. And I was going to say something else about that. Do you remember what it was? No, but we'll figure it out here as we go. That's why I have to have my family up here. Where am I? I don't know. Anyway, Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. We can have merry hearts in Jesus. We really can. No matter what the consequences, what's going on, we can have a merry heart in Jesus. It's never too late to start doing what's right when we're in the family of God. He is the author of new beginnings and total forgiveness. He washes us white as snow. You can't get any whiter than that when we receive Jesus as our Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Christ they are. Now, we're still in this old body here, okay? But all things in Him are new, because it's His life. Galatians 2:20. It's not my life. It's His life that wants to come through. There's great joy then in serving the one who has formed us in our mother's womb and loves us more than anyone else can. We're serving Him. That's what we're doing. Psalm 139, we read it this morning. Let's look at this a little bit again right here. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. Really marvelous are God's works. You know, I'm thinking, okay, so I'm somewhere here, and there's all this different kinds of food, and I mix it all up on my plate, so I might have some vegetables and some meat and some stuffing, I don't know what all, but you take it in your mouth, and your mouth, you chew it up, and you don't even think about it, and your tongue sorts it out so that the part that's ready to swallow goes to the back of your mouth, and the part that's not ready to swallow stays more to the front of your mouth. You swallow it, it goes into your stomach, and your big toe says, I need this amino acid. Oh, okay, so your stomach sorts it all out, sends it all down through everything else, and gets exactly what you need down to your big toe, okay? What? Marvelously are we made. We've talked a lot about animals this week, and some of the things animals do, that it's unbelievable what they do. And we have all that on those DVDs and things back there. By the way we run a book table is, if you want something on the book table, you take it. If you want to put a donation in the box, there's a little box, you can do it. If you don't have any money and you want everything on the table, just take it, okay? God takes care of us. We don't worry about that. But we want you to have the information. And those animal DVDs are really good. There's some things on discipleship and things, discipleship with young ladies and things like that back there. Anyway, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The high calling of motherhood, a godly Christian woman understands the incredibly important and eternal investment of raising up godly children for the glory of the one who bought us with so great a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20, what's it say? Right there. You're bought with a price. What's the price? The precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're His. We belong to Him when we know Jesus as our Savior. So where did it all start? In the garden, with creation. And God's designing and bringing forth Adam from the dust of the ground, Eve from Adam's rib. By the way, some progressive creationists are saying, oh, God didn't take a rib from Adam. That just means Eve was sourced in Adam. Well, then why does he say he had to close up the flesh in Genesis 2, down there about verse 21? God took out a rib, and the maid there, that's the word for hand fashioned. He hand fashioned Eve. He put Adam to sleep. So Adam knew what death was like. And there comes Eve. And boy, Adam took one look at Eve. He said, wow. And whoa, man, which is woman. And anyway, the consequences of sin. Eve was the one deceived. But it's called the sin of Adam. That's not fair. Eve is the one that ate that fruit. She's the one that enticed her husband to do it. What is it? Why is it called the sin of Adam? Because he's the head. He's the spiritual head. And what's Adam doing when Eve is about to take the fruit? Zero. Totally passive in his spiritual leadership in his home. Come on, Eve, let's get out of here, Eve. God said, we're not supposed to do this, Eve. We're not going to do this, Eve. Come on. Nope. Adam is right there with Eve. What is it? Genesis 3:6. And he's not doing anything. He is passive. So we men inherit the Adamic sin nature. Part of that is passivity in our spiritual leadership at home. By the way, you ladies inherited something too. We all have a problem with the sin nature. What did you ladies inherit? Well, down there in chapter 4, God talking to Cain, he says, your desire, their sin has a desire for you, but you must master it. Well, what's he say about the woman? As a result of the fall, your desire shall be for your husband. It's the same word for the desire of sin for you. What's the desire of sin for you? It's a desire to overrule, overpower, overthrow. So what's the desire of the woman in the home as a result of the fall? A desire to overrule, overpower, overthrow her husband. So now you got a passive husband and a wife that wants to overrule, overpower, overthrow. What kind of dynamics do you have? Problem. Okay. What's God say? I want you Christian men and women to get that straightened out so the watching world can see what a relationship with me should look like. So we men, we become the leader. We aren't passive. You ladies, you submit to your husband lovingly. Mothers, uniquely created by God to be the companion to their husbands, creative counterparts to help meet the needs, the trials, the challenges of everyday living, especially to encourage and respect, and to receive the love of their spiritual leader as he loves them, the way God, the Son, the Lord Jesus, loves his bride, the church. He gave his life for us. We give our life for our wives. It means we might have to give up fishing on some afternoon. We might have to give up hunting someday because our wife needs us to stay home. We have to make a sacrifice because we love our wife, you see? And she needs to know that. Motherhood, 24 hours a day for the rest of your life. This is a true or false question. Is motherhood 24 hours a day for the rest of the mother's life? True or false? True. That was a pretty good response. Yeah, it is. It is. 24 hours a day the rest of your life. You never give up your motherhood. By the way, God never gives up his fatherhood of us when we come into the family. We're his son, we're his daughter, and he never gives us up. We can't lose it. If once you have salvation, you can't, if you truly trust Jesus, motherhood. One of the hardest yet most rewarding of all pursuits when done as unto the Lord for his glory. That's Colossians 3:23. We mentioned that early on. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Godly motherhood requires many sacrifices, time, treasure, talents, emotional energy. It does. It requires sacrifices. And many times we men don't notice. We don't notice. Someone has said women think all the time. They're multitasking all the time. They're thinking what I need to do about this and this and this and this and where I need to move the couch. It's been there too long. I'm going to put it over here. There are all kinds of things. Okay, you know what men are? An empty box. Really? We're just an empty box? My wife will say something to me, and I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what she's talking about. Now, she thinks I do. I don't, okay? So then she tries to explain it to me. And sometimes I can't get it even then, okay? So we got to be careful, men. We got to listen to our wives and love them, okay, and try to understand what they're telling us about. That's 1 Peter 3. We're to live with our wives according to knowledge in an understanding way. That's why God tells us we're supposed to do that, because it's difficult to do that. Wives. Now, I just said that, you know, about husbands. So I got to say something about the wives. We're going to be fair. Ephesians 5 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. By the way, it always says your own husband. It never says anybody else's husband, okay? You submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even though we don't do such a good job a lot of times, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Mothers are uniquely gifted in their marriage relationship to bring glory to God in their submission and joy in serving and responding to their husband, being his adornment, as they demonstrate thankful spirits for the special position God has entrusted to them. Husbands, that's Colossians 3. Husbands, you should be loving your wives in such a way that this is not a heavy burden and trial for your wives. Remember, you're loving them as Christ does the church. Are you a burden to your wife? Men? Children, are you a burden to your mom? How many times does your mom have to tell you to take the garbage out? See, that was my problem when I was growing up. That was my job, take the garbage out. I never did it the first time my mom told me to do it. And I never just volunteered to do it without her having to tell me to do it. If she didn't tell me to do it, it wouldn't get done. And if she didn't tell me about three times, it was about the third or fourth time when she said, jump, take out the garbage. Oh, okay. Okay. Now, children, you know what you're supposed to do. You know what would help your mom. Why don't you just do it? Just do it because you love your mom. Okay? Yeah, just, do you make your bed in the morning? Would that please your mom? Well, why not just do it? Just make your bed. Don't make her, get back, Claire, make your bed. Okay, just do it because you love the Lord and you love your mom. Mothers are uniquely gifted with perception, intuition, sensitivity, creativity. Mothers can perceive and understand deep things troubling their children that the fathers often miss. Yeah, we do. Husbands, ask your wives how they think your children are doing. Then ask the Lord to give you some wisdom so that you know how to come alongside your wife and minister to her and help the children. Jenny can say to me, boy, one of the girls is really troubled about this, or there's something going on, you know, and I didn't notice. You know, I just didn't notice. That's that empty box syndrome, I think. Mothers are uniquely gifted to teach and nurture as a mother and a Titus 2 woman. What's it say there in Titus 2? The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. Now, you can start teaching them that before they ever have a husband because of the way they have relationships. To love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word, there it is again, their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. See, we don't want to discredit the ministry of our Lord. It says in Galatians 3, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's male or female. We're all one in Christ. Our salvation doesn't depend on anyone but Christ alone. We're all equal in Christ, which is another reason Christ and Christianity are superior to any and all other religions. It's not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with the living Lord. It's not a religion. Christian women have freedoms many cultures don't have due to the religious system. Denies women's status. Some don't even have the level of an animal. The animals are better taken care of than the women. And Christianity elevates women. It's really the only one that does. It elevates women. As you have a relationship with our Lord Jesus. The mother of all Eve, she didn't submit. She submitted to the devil. The mother of Jesus, she did submit. Mary. Ruth. Loyal, faithful, obedient in the lineage of Christ. And she submitted. Hannah, a woman of great prayer and faith, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and wasn't frightened. Wait a minute. You ladies, how would you like your... Here comes Pharaoh. Here comes the king. Okay? Here comes Biden. All right? And your husband says to Biden, this is my sister. Would you like to have her? That's what Abraham did. He went to the pagan Pharaoh, or the pagan Pharaoh came to him. Man, your wife is beautiful. Yeah, you can have her. She's my sister. How would you feel about that? What's it say about Sarah? She didn't fear. She trusted God. God's going to take care of me through this. By the way, did he? Did he take care of her? Boy, he sure did. Okay, matter of fact, Pharaoh started having problems. Okay, God will take care of you. Rahab, a harlot, supported the Jewish cause, had faith, and is in the lineage of Jesus. A harlot in the lineage, the direct lineage of Jesus, our Savior. God honors women. He forgives sin. All right, now I got a list of scriptures that make life work best. And we don't have time to do all those. But all of this, the pastor has. It's all copied somewhere. And if you want to go through this and everything else we did this weekend, all the PowerPoints, he's got them. They're yours, free of charge, however you can work it out. And so about Philippians 2, you know, we're to think of others more highly than ourselves. We're not to be selfish. We're not to think of our own interests. In Colossians 3 there, you're to forgive like Jesus forgives. Same thing in Ephesians. In 1 Peter, you're to give a blessing instead of another evil. So you're married and you're, and I said this with the men the other night, you're married and your husband comes to you and says, boy, do your feet stink. You're supposed to come back with a blessing. You go to your husband, you go, man, your feet stink. He's supposed to come back with a blessing. He's not supposed to say, so do yours. He's supposed to come back with a blessing. That's the principle, 1 Peter 3, okay? And then all these other ones. Mother's wish list. All of us are familiar with the amazing lists of projects that mothers make. And we often get our assignments from those lists. Now, what about this Mother's Day? Making a commitment to giving the lady of the house the gift of joyfully working on getting that list taken care of. So I was a dentist for many years. Did you know that dentist wives have some of the poorest teeth? Can't get around to doing dentistry on your wife? Okay. I don't know what happens with, like, undertakers. But anyway, I just thought of that. I shouldn't be thinking. I should just follow my notes. Instead of despondency, frustration, it's taking your time away from something else, or resentment she didn't ask someone else. Think how you can be a blessing to your wife and to your mom. Now, you young people that are here today, today is Mother's Day. It's set aside for mothers. By the way, that's interesting. We have a real old set of encyclopedias at home. I think they're back in the 1940s. They have whole articles on Mother's Day, Father's Day. We looked at a new set of encyclopedias, but they don't even have Mother's Day in it. It's not there. What's going on? Well, there's no such thing as a mother or a father or a male or a female. That's where we are in the culture. They even took Mother's Day out of the encyclopedia. But it is Mother's Day. And let's see if we can be a blessing to our moms today. Okay, you guys right there. You three guys right there. Yeah. You can be a blessing to your mom today, right? Yes. How can you be a blessing to your mom today? Okay, do a chore. Why? How did he get the name chore? That has a negative connotation, doesn't it? It's a chore. It's hard work. Do a blessing. Okay, turn your chores into blessings. All right, maybe mom's real wish for her household starts with a desire to see joyful servants' hearts exhibited. Oh boy, we're going to be joyful when we do things at home for mom. Do you think mom would be joyful back? Oh, yeah, I think so. You're being joyful today. Don't be joyful. No, you're not going. It's not going to work that way. Maybe one of the biggest blessings you can give your mother is to ask her what would help her, and then do it exactly how she would like it done, without grumbling and complaining. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. So we have a friend. She's a year younger than I am, and she has a son that comes to visit. And he comes in, and he starts doing things that he didn't talk to his mom about and isn't what she wants done. And it gets really frustrating for her. You talk about things a little bit with your mom. To make the Bible your blueprint, resist the flesh and the culture that entices with such things as, is that still here? Candy Crush? Has anybody heard of Candy Crush? Oh, you wouldn't raise your hand, would you? Honestly, how many of you have heard of Candy Crush? Let me see your hands. You shouldn't have raised your hand. No, I'm teasing. That's true. These things are part of our culture, and they demand our time, and they're addictive, and we got to watch it. Justified anger, indulging the flesh thing. And by the way, it's not a sale if you don't need it. I saved so much money today. This was on sale. I don't think we need it. No. Anyway, ability by God's grace to accept the challenges that require greater focus on applying the fruit of the Spirit by God's grace. Well, do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? All right. Love, joy, peace. Okay. All right. There's 9 of them, and that was a little bit weak. How can you let the Lord practice the fruit of the Spirit if you don't even know what the fruit of the Spirit is? You see, have you ever taken the time to take a look at the fruit of the Spirit? It's right there in the Bible. I'm not even going to tell you where it is. Oh, unless I said it right here. Oh, I did. Galatians 2. Go look at it and say, oh boy, Lord Jesus, I want you to exhibit that through me today on Mother's Day. Temperance, self-control. I want you to exhibit self-control through me today in honor of my mom. To spend more time in spiritual disciplines than physical ones. Yeah, it's important. We need to do some physical things, but that's the culture worships that these days. To know Him, Jesus, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Yep, that all comes, Philippians 3:10. To be the tone setter. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Somebody reminded me of that this morning. That's true. Be the tone setter and the role model as a godly woman in the home. Proverbs 11:16, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Wear a countenance of peace and encouragement. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15:13. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanks. By the way, we're going to talk about that tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about the fact, with everything going on in our country, in the world, in our education system, what should we do? Be anxious. God says, be careful, be anxious for nothing. Well, how can I not be anxious about what's going on out there? Okay, well, that's what we're talking about tonight. And so, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we're to be a thankful people, let your requests be made known unto God, and what happens then? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you need a little help keeping your heart, keeping your mind? God says, here's one good way to do it. With thanksgiving, come to me with your prayers. I'll give you peace. You need some more peace? Lord Jesus says, come on, come to me. I'll give you the peace, all right? Be able to say, yet not my will, but thine be done, like Jesus did as he faced the cross. Now, when's the last time you said to our Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. So we just got done. Well, we're not done yet. A young lady that wanted to get married, okay? And we didn't think, there were things that weren't quite right. And, but she just really wanted to get married. And so I think one of my daughters said, well, let's just pray, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Show me your will about this. And so her dad prayed and fasted for 3 days. And then on the fourth day, he gets a note from me. We think this is too soon. This is going too soon. This should slow down here. And the dad said, well, I prayed and fasted for 3 days. And God told me, yep, this is right. But he gets a note saying, maybe you should wait. They were married 72 days and she filed for divorce. Okay? Let's not get ahead of God. Let the prayer of our heart be, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Can we go wrong if it's God's will coming out through us? Is there any way you could go wrong? Absolutely not. To become more desperately dependent on the one who bought us with so great a price, he is my best friend forever. You're bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, to do what I know is right, no matter the cost, the circumstance, or the consequence. Romans 6:18, being made free from sin, because we have Jesus in our heart, we don't have to sin. You become the servants of righteousness. Amen. Yes, indeed. To truly know, mother's wish list, to truly know, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Romans 8, nothing can separate me from the will of God, from the love of God, or the will of God, really, if I am willing to let him do what he wants to do, because that's our Lord. To realize women as well as men can know they have eternal life. Did you know that? You can know if you died today, you're going to go to heaven. Now, how do we know? Well, look what it says here. This is the record. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. It's in Jesus. Jesus is the life. He that has the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Have you put your trust in Jesus? Have you said, Lord Jesus, I believe you are my Savior. I believe you died on the cross. You took my sin on yourself on the cross. You know what? That's kind of interesting. God made Adam a perfect man. Perfect man. No sin. He gave him one little test. Adam, everything in the garden is okay. Just one thing. Don't eat of that one tree. What did he do? His little feet right over to the tree with his wife Eve. And he ate of the tree. He sinned. Adam, you eat of the tree, now you're going to die. He ate of the tree, now he has to die. So, God made Adam to live forever, all right? Adam, if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. If he didn't eat of the tree, he was going to live forever. He made him to live forever. He ate of the tree, now he has to die. So God says, okay, Adam didn't do it. I myself will step into my creation and do what Adam didn't do. So Jesus, called the second Adam, steps into his creation. He lives the perfect life that Adam did not live. Jesus doesn't sin. Well, that means he can't die. Because death is the penalty for sin. All of you are going to die. You've all sinned. Okay? Jesus didn't sin. That means he can't die. But he did die. How? God took our sin and put it on Jesus. And okay, now Jesus has our sin. He's got to die. So he took my sin and your sin on himself, God himself. He took responsibility for our sin and he took the penalty for our sin on the cross. He died. He shed his blood for you and me. But he overcame that death at the resurrection. So now he has defeated the death that was the result of Adam's sin. And now because he defeated that death, he can say to you and me, I am giving you my righteousness. I'm giving you my gift, the gift of eternal life. All you have to do is receive the gift. All you have to do is trust in Jesus. Receive him as your Savior. Lord Jesus, I believe you're my Savior. I believe it. And he says, I give you eternal life. All right, so now we have to quit. Oh my, we should have quit. Palm Pilot. We'll go here. That's where we were. And this is the record. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. It's in Jesus. He that hath the Son hath the life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That word name has the idea of everything about him. You believe he died. You believe he rose from the dead, etc. You believe on the name of the Son of God. You may know that you have eternal life. You can know you're going to go to heaven if you die. By the way, that's a special word. Jesus says, these are my sheep, and I know them. That's the Greek word gnosko. That's a relational verb. He had a relationship with the sheep. That's us, okay? By the way, I was in England, and this shepherd said, I'm going to teach you how to call sheep. And so I said, okay, let's go. So there's no sheep anywhere. We go out in this field, and he says, okay, call my sheep. All you have, hey, boys. So I goes, hey, boys. No sheep. He said, well, you didn't call loud enough. You got to call loud. I said, hey, boys. Nothing. He said, I'll show you how to do it. Hey, boys. Here come these sheep from all over everywhere. They're just coming here. They heard the shepherd's voice, all right? And they responded. That's what Jesus wants us to do, respond to his voice. And he knows. So he says he knows his sheep. Gnosko is the Greek word. Then he says at the judgment, depart from me, I never knew you. Same verb, gnosko, all right? I never knew you. Even though they were doing things in the name of Jesus there in Matthew. But then you get over here, and he says, you can know you have eternal life. This is not gnosko. This is a different word. It's the Greek word oida, which is a reflective verb. What does that mean? As you reflect back, and you know on a certain time you received Jesus as your Savior, you know you did, that means you can know you have eternal life. Do you know that you've received Jesus as your Savior? You can do that with a simple prayer. If you do, then you can know that you have eternal life. It's that easy. It's a gift. What do you do with a gift? You have to receive it. You can't do anything to work for it. I was speaking at Bloomsburg University in Pennsylvania, and I wanted them to get the idea it's a gift. So, and there was all these hippies and all kinds of people several years ago. So I pulled out what I thought was a dollar bill. And I looked down, and it was my reserve fund. It was a $50 bill. And I'd already built this thing up like, okay, I'm going to give somebody a gift, okay? And I'm going to show you how God gives you a gift. You don't have to do anything except receive it. So I pull this thing out of my pocket, and I says, okay, who wants this gift? And this hippie way in the back, I do. He comes running down. And then I glint. That's my reserve fund. And now what am I going to do? And he came down. And I said, well, I'm holding tight, you know. Do you have this gift? No. I said, what do you have to do to get the gift? I have to receive it. I have to just reach out and take it. And he reached out, and he grabbed it with a stronger thumb than mine was. And whoop, he had it. And he ran to the back. And I'm thinking, oh, there went our reserve fund. That's a gift. You don't have to do anything but receive it. That's what Jesus says. By the way, at the end of that talk, I didn't know it, but there was a lawyer back there. He comes up afterwards. He says, that was really a good way to show that here. And he handed me a $100 bill. So I gave my $50 reserve fund and put a $100 reserve fund back in my pocket. So God takes care of us. But the fact is, you got to know Jesus if you want to go to heaven. You want to be a godly mom? You've got to know Jesus as your Savior. That's all there is to it. You want to be a godly husband? You got to know Jesus as your Savior. So I'm going to turn it over to the pastor, and I'll let him close the service for us as he wishes.
Amen. Thank you for that. That's the most important thing you can do, is accept Christ as your Savior. The whole rest of your life will be out of alignment. It'll be difficult. It'll be challenging. You'll have hope just out of reach all the time. Fear will always